I am very excited to introduce our last speaker, who will be speaking on steps 10, 11, and 12. How do we work them? How do we live them? Where's the freedom? And what an amazing person that I've gotten to know on Zoom a little bit, and I'm looking forward to hearing more. And this is Ellie from Los Angeles. Ellie, yay! Take it away.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Judy. And thank you, everyone, for being here. And I'd also like to thank Julie and Jerry. Well, here I am now on the right and about 30 years ago on the left. My story is one of that's probably very familiar to all of you. It's up and down and up and down. Let me start by saying, getting some of the numbers out of the way. I have been in program since 2006. I have given away 43 pounds, and I'm going on 14 years and 10 months of abstinence, but as they say, who's counting? So my story, as I mentioned, is one of up and down and up and down. I had a very loving family, always told me how wonderful I was, how smart I was, how beautiful I was, and I didn't believe a word they said. I thought they said it because they're my parents and they had to. When I looked in the mirror, all I saw was somebody who, and I'm going to use the term, it's as though it were one word, fat and ugly. I can't tell you why. It doesn't really matter why. All I knew is that I was filled with self-hatred and self-loathing, lack of self-esteem, lack of self-confidence. And whenever I felt uncomfortable, I turned to food. So I used food as my solution for my problem being my life. So I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. I came to OA in 2006. I was 59 and a half years old at the time, and I just finished reading a book where the author described her life in thirds, and she said that she had finished, she was going into her third third, and that was pretty much where I was as well. And I knew that I did not want to spend the last third of my life hating myself and fighting with the food. Now, I had heard of OA living back in New York probably, I don't know, ages ago. But for me, when I went with my girlfriend, it was a diet. I picked up the sheet and I followed it, and that was it, because I was very good at diets. My lowest weight was 100. My highest weight was 150. I've been a size 2, and I've been a size 12. And
recording in progress.
And every place in between. Sorry, that recording in process threw me off. Okay, well, I guess it doesn't matter. So at any rate, I have had the huge weight swings and the diets. Didn't matter which diet I went on, I was always very successful. I didn't know that I was a compulsive overeater until I came to program. And the way I came to program is very interesting. Like I said, I'd heard about OA, but didn't really know much about it other than following the food plan. And in 2006, my husband of 27 years had asked for a divorce. So
that's 5 minutes past.
Thank you. I went to live with my girlfriend on Roxbury Drive in Los Angeles. And for those of you who may or may not know, there is a meeting called Serenity Sunday, and that is in Roxbury Park. So there I am, right on Roxbury Drive, near Roxbury Park, and I went for a walk. And I sat on a bench, and it was bright and sunny, and it was a little bit after 12, and I was reading a book. And I started to get very uncomfortable from the heat, and I saw two women seated on the side, and they were in the shade. So as soon as they got up, I just dashed right over to that bench in the shade, and on that bench was a 12-stepper. And the 12-stepper is the Los Angeles Intergroup meeting list. And I saw that right behind where I was seated was an OA meeting. There was one at 10 o'clock for newcomers, and there was one at 10:30 for the regular meeting. That was November 17, 2006. I went back the following week, November 26, 2006. And I heard what I needed to hear. I heard hope. I heard that there were people who had given up their weight. But more importantly, they had kept it off for years. That to me was a miracle. I could lose the weight, no problem. But keep it off? No way. So, they also talked about their abstinence, and at the time, abstinence, as they described it, was either 3 meals a day and no snack, 3 meals a day and life in between, 3 meals a day and one snack. So I figured, okay, I can do 3 meals a day. That's maybe one snack. And I also knew intuitively that I could not eat flour and sugar combined like a lady. If I had it, I wanted more. And I love the expression, the only time I have eaten one cookie was when it was the last cookie. So there I was. I had eaten breakfast. The meeting ended at 12. I went back. I had my lunch, and then later on in the day, or actually the early evening, I had my dinner. And rather than going back and forth to the kitchen, which I had always done previously while I was living with her, I just decided, get the bedroom, get to bed, that way you won't have to worry about it. And that's what I did. And the following morning, I woke up, and I was abstinent. And I have been abstinent since. I see my finding the 12-stepper that led me to the OA meetings as my first God shot. I was directed, and that's my belief. I was directed there. The second belief is my ability, in quotes, to become abstinent when the day before I wasn't. And that to me, once again, is gotcha. If I couldn't do it for 59 and a half years, why could I do it? So So I continued to go to the meeting, and I met the woman who became my sponsor, and I chose her. She was not like me at all. She was very funny. I tend to be a little more serious. She was a Sikh. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, but I'm certainly not religious. But she said something that I really enjoyed. She said, "I'm a compulsive fill in the blank. You could have chocolate. You could have sugar. You could have alcohol. You could have shopping. You could have Brad Pitt." And I listened to that. I said, "That's the lady for me." So I started working the steps with her. And although I'm talking about steps 10, 11, and 12, it's not a vacuum. I have to talk about steps 1 through 9 in order to get to 10, 11, and 12. Because that's the way this program is set up, and that's the way this program works. I have often heard it is a program of suggested steps. And that just never resonated with me, because I hear it as a program of recovery that is suggested with these steps. So if I want recovery, it's suggested I take these steps. Just like if you're in an airplane and it's going down, it suggested you put your parachute on. And the steps have saved my life, just like the parachute would save my life. So step 1, I admitted I was powerless over food. My life had become unmanageable. That for sure I knew. I knew that I had finally been there. I had had enough of a history knowing that I couldn't do it. That no matter how good I was, no matter how professional I was, no matter how loving I was, things would turn around and I would be eating out of the inability to be authentic and say what was on my mind, out of anger, out of you not doing it the way I want you to do it, all of that. So step 1. Step 2 came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Well, to me, that God shot was the most important thing that I had seen. And they told me that sanity had nothing to do with whether I was crazy or not. It had to do whether it was a normal or an abnormal way of thinking. And thinking that food is going to solve my problem is an abnormal way of thinking, as far as I'm concerned today. Step 3 came to believe, turning my will and my life over to the power greater than myself. I tried to imagine how I would do that. And how would I develop this relationship with a higher power? And I realized that probably the same way that I would develop a relationship with any one of you, I would pick up the phone, I would call you, I would share with you what's going on. So I don't have God's phone number, but I did have the ability to just talk out loud on my bed. I had no idea what I was talking, not what. I knew what I was saying, but I didn't know to whom I was saying it. But I did it anyway. Step 4, I get to look at my resentments, my fears, my sexual harms, and my harms other than sexual. And then I get to share it with someone. And that ability to be able to speak with someone and share all my, quote, dirty little secrets was wonderful. She listened. She accepted. She didn't criticize. She didn't wag her finger at me. She just acknowledged. And from there, 6 and 7.
10 minutes left.
6 and 7 means that I have character defects and character assets. And I get to look at the character defects, look at what the opposite is, humbly ask God to remove them, and then to act as if they've already been removed. Do I still have them? Some of them, yes. And the good part is that I recognize them like that. And then I can do what's necessary. 8 and 9, I made the list of people I've harmed, and I made my amends. And I, too, made my amends. My mom had passed away in 1995, and I felt that I owed her an amends. And so what I chose to do was to talk to her out loud in the car. And again, the forgiveness and the loving is what's left. And now we come to step 10, 11, and 12 that I consider the growth steps. We continue growing. If we're not growing, we're dead, just like the tree that needs to continue growing. Step 10 says, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Now, I stressed two words there, continue to take personal inventory, because this is something that I need to do on a daily basis. And when we were wrong tells me, I am going to be wrong sometimes. I am going to be selfish. I am going to be self-righteous. I am going to be sarcastic. I am going to have all of my character defects in one way or another creep up. So I need to become aware of them. We did a reading the other day. There's a group of us who read different literature, and it was a lovely description of step 10 as pulling out the weeds in the garden. You know, if you never pull out the weeds, the plants or the vegetables, whatever it is, they get choked and eventually they die. So I have to pull out the weeds on a daily basis. Now, there are times when I have a full-blown resentment that is not enough for me on a 10th step. I have to go back to my 4th step form and see, who do I resent? What did they do? What part of self was affected? What did I do, which is normally expectations. I expected them to be different than they are, and they didn't live up to it. And then where have I been selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful? And that helps me remember that my job in this life is to become the best Ellie I can be. Not to tell you how to be the best person you can be. All right. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. When I first started and was talking to my higher power, that was just the beginning. And again, it was a beginning that I needed to practice on a daily basis if I wanted to improve, if I wanted to strengthen this relationship between my higher power and myself. And there was, at one time, I was in a big book workshop, and we were asked to write our own third step prayer, which I would like to share with you. God, please open my heart and mind to all that you would have me be and do in the world. Please turn my thoughts and actions from fear to faith, from resentment to acceptance, from self-centeredness to other-centeredness. Please turn me toward my fellows and to you, God, so that I may live a life of love, peace, and serenity. That is what I say in the morning. I wake up. I do a reading from one of the OA readers. I do my own set-aside prayer, which I find very helpful. God, please set aside for me everything I think I know about the past and what will happen in the future so that I can have a new experience of here and now. And then I recite the first three steps, the third step prayer. I go into meditation. When I come out of my meditation, which is normally 20 minutes later, I say my own third step prayer, and then I thank my higher power for all the things in my life, my parents, my family, my friends, leading me to OA, my sponsors, my sponsees, my abstinence, and I ask for help. Please help me to be more patient, tolerant, compassionate, and understanding of others and myself, to speak, act, think with kindness. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And the reason I stressed the result, because I have heard in meetings, as a result. Well, no, there's only one result. It's the result of working the steps that we have a spiritual awakening. And I am grateful and pleased to say that I have had that spiritual awakening, that I do practice the principles to the best of my ability. And you've heard those principles both from Julie and from Jerry, the principle of honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, self-discipline, love, perseverance is 10, spiritual awareness is 11, and service is 12. And the reason I said I left service to last is because I was a service junkie. When I first came into OA and I had have the sponsor, I still have the sponsor I had almost 15 years ago. And she was very
involved. 2 minutes left.
Thank you. She was very involved in the OA intergroup and Region 2. She'd been chair of Region 2. She said, Ellie's service is really important. When you go to Serenity Sunday, even if you take the coffee commitment, people will get to know your name. You'll be part of. So that's what I did. I took the the coffee commitment and then the lifeline commitment. And then I became secretaries of meetings. I also was a delegate. As a result of being a delegate, I went on to the board. In 2008, I was chair of the 12-step within of the Los Angeles Intergroup. And then several years later, I joined the board again and eventually became the chair of the Los Angeles Intergroup. Now, being chair of the Intergroup, I'll let you in on a secret. If you think you have no character defects, boy, will you find out. And but it serves me, and it helps me. I sponsor a lot of different women. I have done a big book workshop in general, but I have also done a big book workshop with my sponsees and grand sponsees. Because in the big book and elsewhere, we learn that we must, in order to keep our recovery, we must give it away. We must share it with others. And the big book does use the word must. There are several times it says must, but to our benefit. And here I am again as Julie and Jerry and Tiffany and Judy and Jamie and everyone and Phil. We're all doing service. We're all helping to carry the message. And that message is hope. And I will say when I came in, I didn't want to spend the last third of my life hating myself and fighting with the food. Well, I don't hate myself. I am my authentic self. I love who God made me. And for sure, I am no longer fighting with the food. So thank you for letting me share. And I pass.